Pastor Kevin, thank you for the invitation to be here with you all this morning and to come back to Kirkland and be here. I hope you know that you are special to me. Kirkland, this church family is my first love. This is my first experience into pastoral ministry. This is where they would say I got my teeth cut, and maybe I got my toes and my mouth cut at the same time. As I stepped on, made some mistakes, and Gary knows very well I've made tons of mistakes here. This is where I started my ministry, pastoral ministry, and I thank God for an opportunity to be here again. And I want to thank you for being patient with me, being gracious and merciful as you've groomed me and worked me out so that I can become used by God continually is my prayer. But thank you to Wes and Jacinta. Thank you for blessing us here this morning as we get into our word here. I want to invite you all to bow your heads for a word of prayer. Our God and King, as we pause in these next few moments to just to say thank you for being here with us. Thank you for being faithful. And Father, as we come to this point in our week, in our service, that you've brought us to, thank you for the invitation to be here. And Father, as we come, my prayer is that we would experience you now. In your name, amen. A few weeks ago, Jackie and I were out to eat with the kids. And as we were sitting at the table, ordered our food. Food came and we ate. I started to eat, and while I was chomping away at my food, you know, I don't eat slowly. I eat really fast, but I talk slow. As I got to eating, I chomped down. I took this big bite, and when I took this bite, I felt something happen in my mouth. I took a bite, and I knew that it felt like it was a rock or a grain of sand. Someone said, hey, it might have been a piece of pepper that wasn't finely grinded down. And so when I bit down on that piece of whatever it was, it cracked my tooth. Ever happened to you? Yeah. Some of you can sympathize with me here this morning. But in that experience, the pain, the hurt that I had felt told me that something was wrong. I didn't stop eating, though. I finished my food. Always do. As I finished our food and I went home, it was aching with pain. And so I called up my dentist and I scheduled an appointment. And as I went into the dentist, I shared with him what had happened. And so all great dentists, what we look forward to going to the dentist for is when they come walking through covered up and they have this huge needle that's about 5 feet thick. This huge syringe, and then the needle goes from here to out the door, and they come in with this huge smile like, ready? So I sat back in that chair. I said, I don't know. Sure, anything could help. And so he pries into my mouth and he begins to insert some of this stuff. Oh, you're going to feel a little pinch here. What do you mean a pinch? It's not a pinch. A little bit. Injection here, here, here. And before I know it, you feel anything? I can still feel a little bit, a little tingling. And before you know it, half your face feels like the size of the moon. What gets awkward is the dentist always wants to talk to you during this. Sure. There. I feel good. There. But my mouth is now numb. My face has gotten numb. My tongue, I'm afraid to speak because I don't know if I'm going to chew on my tongue or spit it out. I don't know what's going to happen here. And so I try to remain. But many of you have been in the dentist seat and your face has gone numb. Good feeling? Maybe for some of you. But my face went numb. And for the next several hours, my face was numb. Couldn't feel anything. And when I was done, I went into the bathroom to wash my face and rinse out my mouth. And as I walked into the bathroom looking, yes, my face is still here. It's still intact. It looks normal, but it doesn't feel like it. Right? You rinse out your mouth and you leave. Could you imagine living life not only partial of your faith that you cannot feel, not only for a few hours, but could you imagine walking around where you've lost this gift of pain? Turn with me into the book of Luke chapter 5. Scripture here this morning, our story that we find ourselves in, is that in Luke chapter 5, Jesus starts his Galilean ministry here, and it's his first time around town, and he's just starting off in his ministry. He was just baptized, he goes through the temptations, and as he comes out of there, he's done a few things. He casts out a few demons, he heals Peter's mother-in-law. All mother-in-laws need healing, including mine. No, I'm playing. Jackie's mother-in-law needs healing. And then it says in verse 40 in Luke chapter 4 that many were coming. They brought those who were sick and ill. Jesus is starting his ministry here. And as he comes to town, it says that multitudes of people, they bring all that were sick with various diseases and they brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them. And I love what the Bible says. Luke tells us that they were healed. Jesus healed them. And so as you can imagine, as Jesus begins his ministry, going around town, speaking, healing, and it says as many as demons were also cast out, Jesus comes into town early in his ministry. He only has four disciples at this point, the four fishermen. And as he comes into town, Luke, the doctor here, tells us in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, that it happened when he was in a certain city. I don't know what city. That behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and he fell on his face and implored him saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The problem here is the man was a leper. And leprosy, it's a skin disease, mucous membranes. It also could affect the nervous system. To the very point where some people were left maimed or disfigured. And I had this misconception as a child that I grew up when I heard the word leprosy. I just thought that leprosy, yes, you had these spots or your skin turned different colors. But I had assumed in my own understanding that leprosy happened. That if anybody who had leprosy back in the day, they could be walking down the street. Yes, and what they were supposed to do is yell out, unclean. Participate with me this morning. Unclean, unclean. But in my thought that I had assumed that as a leper, when you'd walk around out of nowhere, your arm would fall off. Or their toes would fall off. That's what I had thought as a child. But as I studied about leprosy, it's not only a skin disorder or a condition. It's a disease that only that messes with the mucous membranes in your body. But it begins to attack the nervous system. And so what happens to those who have leprosy is not only do they have sores, but they've lost this gift of pain where they walk around, not only like I did, with half my face numbed, but could you imagine your whole body losing that sense of pain? Could you imagine walking around numb? You wouldn't know if you banged your elbow. If you walked out the door and you rolled out of bed and in your hazy days, in your confusion, you accidentally kicked something and busted your toe. Could you imagine what would happen to you? So this is what would happen to those who had leprosy down to this very point where they would get cut or hurt or they would stub their toe and they would have an open wound. And what happens if an open wound isn't taken care of? You continue to keep that open wound fresh. And what happens is it begins to decay and it begins to smell and it begins to rot. And so what happens when something goes like down that road? You have to do what? What? You got amputated. You get the... It gets amputated. And so what ends up happening to those lepers that were out around town, they weren't allowed into, but if they were to come around you and if they were to come outside before entering this door, they would have to yell out what? Unclean. unclean. And so you had these people with skin discolorations and lumps and bumps and bruises that weren't healing. And some of them had lost fingers and lost hands and arms and limbs and legs and toes. And so you had these people who were maimed, disabled, labeled as unclean. And so the Bible tells us that there's a leper in a certain city. I wouldn't say in Kirkland. But there's a certain city that there's a leper who exists there, and he knows that Jesus is coming to town. And the Bible here in Luke, I love what Luke says, is that this man sees Jesus and he comes and he falls on his face. If you went into Matthew and you read the same account in Matthew chapter 8, in this whole experience, it says that when Jesus comes and this leper comes, the same story here, it says that this man comes and he comes to worship Jesus. In Mark's account, Mark chapter 1, it says, so Matthew says, this man, this leper, comes in a form or in a posture of worship when he comes before Jesus. In Mark, it says that he comes and he falls to his knees. And then in Luke, it says that this man comes and he falls flat on his face before Jesus. And he begs him, if you're willing, heal me. If you're willing, heal me. Now, I don't know if there's any other evidence. I don't know where this man comes from. I don't even know what city Jesus is in. But this man is struggling. We don't know how old he is. Is he married? Is he educated? Is he wealthy or poor? Has he been sick all his life? Or was this some disease that he got later on in life by associating with other people? How did this man come about? There's some unknowns here in this text. Was he a wealthy man? Was he a valiant warrior? Was he, what type of person was he? What kind of home? What kind of community? What we do know is that he might have been a Jew, because after Jesus heals him, Jesus says, now go into the temple and give an offering. Respond to this. We also know that he has family members, maybe a spouse, maybe some kids, but he has an extended family that's waiting for him that he's been separated from. Because Jesus says no. In the other accounts, it says no, don't follow me, but don't say anything, but go back home. So in returning back to where you came from, you can know that this man, I'm assuming here, that he might have felt lonely, ostracized, marginalized, pushed outside of these walls because he got something that no one else had within this community. And if he were to ever come around, he would have to say, hey, I'm unclean. I'm an unclean man. I'm unclean. But I love what this man does. He comes, and in Matthew's experience, he comes. And Matthew's account says he comes to worship. Worship Jesus. Now I know that we're in a Caucasian, predominantly Caucasian church, and so worship looks maybe something like this, right? Is that worship? As I turned around and I peeked out and I looked at everyone here this morning, as we were singing, as my heart was jumping for joy, this is how we worship, right? But this is how this man, do you assume that this is how he responded when he knew that he was unclean? This is his posture? This was his form of worship? It says that he was worshiping when he came to see Jesus. And then into Mark, this is what it says, that when he saw Jesus, he's coming. Now, let's pause here for a moment. I don't know how this man knew that Jesus was in town. I'm assuming that someone from the Kirkland Church ran around the outskirts of the city and said, I was part of those who were healed in Luke chapter 4. Jesus healed me, or he healed my mother, he healed my father, he healed my brother, sister, he healed somebody, or he might have healed me. And in my experience, I ran around town knowing that I was healed, ran around those who were marginalized, pushed outside of the city walls, who were unclean. I would have run around and said, man, I have been made whole. I have been healed. And some lunatic ran around the outskirts of Kirkland screaming, I've been healed. I've been healed. Or maybe Jesus has healed you and we continue to worship. Shh. In silence. But somehow this leper knows that Jesus is near. I'm assuming that someone from the Kirkland church ran around and said, God pulled through for me financially. God pulled through and got me that job that he knew I needed. And God had healed my marriage. God ran through and he pulled me out of my own addictions. He's healed me. And so he runs around the outskirts of town telling everyone he comes in contact with, saying, there is someone. The Messiah is here. Jesus, the great healer, the provider, the one who can guide and lead you, the one who sustains the earth. He's here in town. Come, go find him. Somehow this leper finds out that Jesus is in Kirkland. And so he does what only he can do. He comes and puts himself in a position. And in these accounts, he comes worshiping. He comes worshiping. Now, some of you can relate. I wanted to stand up and go like this here this morning as praise team because it was good and the trombone was doing his thing. And to see a little man here doing his thing on the strings. My heart was warm because I see that little ones are being nurtured and groomed here to worship and to serve God. And so in my heart, I wanted to stand up, but I didn't want to stand up because I didn't want to offend anybody. But inside I was, oh man, please, as a form of worship, thank you for being good to me, God. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being merciful towards me. And so this man comes in it as he's worshiping God. Like many of you come this morning, a form of worshiping God. But in Mark's account, it says that he runs up to Jesus and he does this. He kneels before Jesus. What is this? You speak to me. Tell me what this looks like. Have you been in this position before? With nowhere else to go. Have you been on your knees? Have you been in this position? Now just yell it out. What does this look like other than some crazy man wearing a skirt and some crazy thing? What does this look like? Humility. Begging. Desperation. What does this look like? Huh? Crying for help. Yeah. Worship. You're asking. There's nowhere else to go. I'm assuming that this leper might have gone around town. He might have went and seen different physicians. He might have gone and tried different treatments. And nothing has worked to bring him cure. Nothing has worked to restore his broken relationships. Nothing has worked to allow him to come back into the community. Something has separated him from everyone else. And nothing's been able to restore or fix that. And so he's in this posture, desperation, begging. But then when you come into Luke, tell me that this isn't something you see. I see this sometimes at home with a two-year-old. But it says that the leper comes and he sees who Jesus is. He's begging, he's pleading, he's desperate, he's vulnerable, he's humble. And when he comes to Jesus in Luke chapter 5 here, his approach to Jesus is, I don't know what he's heard about Jesus, but he's come, he's running towards Jesus, he sees who Jesus is, and then it says he does this. Now tell me what comes to your mind when you see this. What's that? Discipline? Did you say discipline? No, that's what happens to my kids at home. When they do this, that means discipline's coming. I think I heard wrong. What does this look like? Surrender. Humiliation. I heard something else. Desperation. Times 10. To go from a posture of worshiping to having a grown man on his knees pleading to this posture where God, have you been there? Have you been there? No? Some have. I'm getting confused looks, like I've never been that desperate. No. Come on, Pastor. No. But have you been there? Have you been in a position where no one else could help you? Have you been frustrated through the process and nothing's worked? Have you gone step by step? Yes, we've tried this. Yes, they've told us to try this. Yes, we've went to counseling. Yes, we've did this. Yes, we went there. Yes, we bought that. Yes, we did everything. We went everywhere. Have you been to the point where there's nothing else? Have you spent enough time crying, angry? Have you been in that position where you've, like the leopard, have you found yourself with your face to the ground, pleading and begging for God for a breakthrough? Have you been there? Have you been there? As a young father, shoosh, I let my kids go there now with their faces to the ground, pounding and fussing and kicking. In this posture, this leopard comes. And I'm assuming here through his words and interaction with Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. You can fix my issues. You can cleanse me of my wrongs. You can fix me. You can break me from the bondage that holds me down. You can break my addictions. You can free me from this relationship. You can allow me to overcome. You can give me the strength to continue to move forward. You have the courage. God, I need your wisdom now. I need to know you now. Please guide, lead, open, allow me. You're the only way. You're the truth. You're the life. I've tried other things to find it. But God, if you're willing, if you are willing, make me clean. And I love what Jesus does next. Verse 13. You can make me clean. You can fix what's wrong. You can balance out the books. You can make our relationship work. You can tweak our home. You can make my wife a little bit kinder. You can make my husband less stubborn. You can make it work. You can pay for the bills. You can open up opportunities for us that we have never seen. You can do for us what no one else can do. What no one else can do. And so this man comes to someone he knows is willing. We know that from Jesus here. We know that Jesus is available. We know that he's able. And the question is, he's asking Jesus, God, are you willing to make me whole? Are you willing to make me clean? Are you willing to? Because imagine what happens if this leopard becomes whole. Guess what happens to him? He gets to come home. Relationships are restored. I'm no longer lonely. I'm no longer on the outskirts of town. I become a part of the community. I have a place here which not only supports me, guides and leads me, nurtures me in my spiritual development so that I can become fruitful in the eyes of God. But this allows this man to come back and have a place at the table. He's been marginalized no longer. He's no longer pushed out. He's let in. And see what happens when someone is made whole. This man comes and he's begging Jesus, God, Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then in verse 13, he says that, then Jesus here, he put out his hand. And what does it say there in verse 13? Those of you with your Bibles. It says that he reaches out his hand and he touched him saying, I am willing, be cleansed. I want to be clean. Jesus says, you are now what? Cleansed. I am broken and I want to be healed. Jesus says, healed. I'll fix it. I'll make it right. What's wrong? Right. And Jesus here touches this man. I love what happens here as we study and you look into the original language. It tells us that Jesus not only touched this man, which is simply touch, amazingly, because this man had lost the sense of touch, this gift of pain. Jesus breaks that barrier and he reaches out and he touches this man. Not only does he simply touch him, but if you look at the definition of the word that's described here, is that Jesus becomes inclusive, so it's more than just a touch. Jesus owns him and he restores him like this. He takes on his issues. He becomes unclean. He breaks the barriers. He tears down the walls. Jesus here, not only by simply touching him, but the idea is that he becomes inclusive in that touch. And as he becomes inclusive in that touch, it's the same word here that simply is translated that Jesus touched this man. But he not only touches him, but he comes into our own situation. He becomes inclusive. He puts himself in our position. And as he does that, the word haptomai here also is translated as one who touches with the intent to start a fire, to ignite, to cause an explosion, to move, to bring to a flame. Growing up in Southern California, we always heard it, only you can start forest fires, right? It only takes a spark. And Jesus here says, I will be the igniter here. I not only touch you, I become inclusive of who you are, but then I restore and I bring to a flame. I start a fire in you. It's simply when Jesus comes motivated by love, compassionately moved, desiring in his heart to see his children healed. Jesus comes and he compassionately touches and we see the blind man who's able to see. Jesus ignites, he burns, he brings to a flame, he changes. It's the reason why the same word is used, that when Jesus comes to that widow of Nain, when her son, who she's lost, she's a widow, has nothing else, that when Jesus touches this coffin, he makes himself inclusive into the situation. He takes on death in itself. And when he touches, not only compassionately moved by love, but as he touches, he ignites and he brings back to life. And that's why there in that account, this boy who was dead, this widow who sat there with nothing else, when her son sat up in his casket, alive, Jesus touches with the intention to bring back to life. To restore. And so, as we end here this morning, I'd like to simply bring you before Christ, myself before Christ, as a leopard. We all have leper issues, not leper shoes. We all have a form of leprosy. We all have something that we've struggled with. That we're in the process of asking God to make us whole. I know this from my own self. I come from a background of addiction and living in that. I've known God to be not only available, but he's able to cure and he's willing to do it if you would bring yourself to him. I know that because I celebrated 17 years here this year of being sober. I know God can do things. I know God can move. I know God can do amazingly, abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. It's who he is. He's a God who of love, who desires what's best for you. And if we submit ourselves, if we humble ourselves, if we come and work aside, along with Him, and if He guides and leads us, there's nothing in this world that God would withhold from you. Nothing good that God would withhold from you. There's nothing in this world that He would keep from you. And so as a leper here this morning, myself, my own issues, I know personally God can do great things. I might be the lunatic who runs around the outskirts of Kirkland screaming, "I've been healed, I've been healed," because I've seen God heal me. I've seen Him do things that I never imagined He would do in my life. Not only healing me from my diseases, as Psalm 103 would say, but He would satisfy my innermost desires. I can testify to that, that God knows how to satisfy. He knows, I know, from my own experience, He can heal all your wounds. I know that. And I know His intent for you is to enjoy life in the best of it. I don't know what you're struggling with here this morning. But here's a text that I love. Sermon title this morning is, "The Lord is Willing." But you must put yourself in a position to hear and receive what God has for you. The challenge would be is then go and do as He's asked you after you've met Him. For the woman, it was go and sin no more. For the rich young ruler, it was go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor. It's okay to have a moment with Jesus, but then when He asks you to go out and do, it's a challenge. So I'm going to pray for you in that process. That as you respond to God speaking to you this morning, I'll pray for your courage as you return home to do what only God is asking you to do, that you may live in a posture or a position that you can experience God in your life. So what are you dealing with here this morning? Is there an addiction? Is there a lifestyle habit? Is there a child that hasn't found their way? That I know that as a young father, as a young parent myself, I think children could be the most stressful thing in your life, but it could be the most powerful blessing God has ever given. Is there a child that has lost his way or her way? Is there a marriage that's not right, that needs a little tuning, that you've been struggling at? Is there a husband? Is there a wife? Is there a mom that's going through it? Is there a father that needs praying here this morning? Or maybe it's simply you. God, I have some things I'm working through and I need you to pull me through. And this morning, God, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. But this morning, you know the Lord is willing. The Lord is willing to heal, to make whole. I'll share with you one more text and then I'll invite you to respond here this morning. One of my favorite texts here out of Jeremiah 32. I love what it says here. In verse 17, "Ah, Lord God," Jeremiah speaking, "behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm." Jeremiah goes on to say this, "There is nothing too hard for you. You've created all things. You've spoken and the trees popped out. The birds took flight. The waters were filled. The inhabitants of this earth were established. The animals were, I mean, God spoke and it was done." And Jeremiah is speaking to that same power. "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." and this morning, Kirkland Church family. Knowing that God is available in a certain city, maybe even Kirkland here this morning. He's available. He's able. And if the Lord is willing here to heal you of your disease, would you let Him? Lord is willing. Will you let Him heal you? So I'm going to ask you, I'll invite you to respond, and I'll respond by doing it myself first. I'll invite you to kneel on your own or in your own form of worship. Kneel. Or if you want to lay down on your face, I'll allow you to respond how you want to respond to that. And I'll give you a minute to have your own way with God. You share. God, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need help with. I'll give you a minute and then we'll pray. Our God and King, Creator of the universe and all things we see and cannot see. God, the ruler who's so passionately in love with us, who's constantly moved by compassionate love towards His people. Amen. And Father, here this morning, Your children, myself included, God, we've responded in a way, in a form of worship. We bring to You what's on our minds and on our hearts. God, like the leper, there are things that have separated us, that have broken relationships. There are things that hinder us from moving on in life. There are certain things that hold us hostage as prisoners that You don't want us to deal with. God, there's a relationship here this morning that needs to be fixed. There's a marriage that needs to be, that needs to be mended. There's a husband here who needs to be softened. There's a wife here who needs encouragement. There's a mother going through it here this today. There's a father who's discouraged. God, You see our illness. You see our hurts and our pains. And in response to that, Father, we come like the leopard here. Father, if You're willing to heal us, heal us.
Yes, Lord.
If You're willing to make us clean, cleanse us. And Father, here this morning, if You decide to cleanse now, we would praise You.
That's right.
If You're willing to heal us now, we thank You. But Father, if Your healing comes in a week, two, or a month from now, or years from now, help us to remain faithful through the process as we journey with You.
Yes, Lord.
Knowing that You will heal us. And Father, if You decide to heal us at Your second coming, when we will receive new bodies, new minds, and all things will be made right. Father, if that's the opportunity that we would then be healed, Father, we pray that You would help us to be faithful.
Amen.
Give us the courage to continue to walk along, to keep marching forward, to keep trusting as we entrust ourselves to You. Mm-hmm. And Father, here this morning, as we bring to You what only You can fix, what only You can clean, have Your way, Lord, for we know You are willing, is my prayer in Your name. Amen.